Hey guys, I am glad to be here. I am sorry to see you here. My name is Jim. My divorce was final in the spring of 2009. I remember on my first night of divorce care, I arrived early and was unexpectedly slammed with the word divorce on the title slide. I don't know what I was expecting. I wept like a baby. I never thought that I would be here. I'm glad I had a few minutes alone, for at that time in my life, I was really, really good at being alone. My part in the abolition of my marriage was living in an emotional and spiritual isolation from deep-seated fear, anxiety, and anger that produced a heart and mind that strove to control and manipulate all that was around me. I believe that if I can control the processes in my life, then I could control the outcomes. Totally destructive. Also, I attempted to use the shallow and iffy comfort of pornography to feel better. Absolutely stupid. In my relationships with family and others, there was a ruthless and passive-aggressive competitor that could not lose. Losing or failure meant being insignificant and worthless. So as a result, I participated in snuffing the life out of my marriage, created an emotional distance from my four children. Simply put, I failed to nurture my wife and my kids the way God intended. I lived with my emotional bags packed, ready to flee, thinking with full conviction that if I was truly known, all around me would reject me. I was a pickin' mess. It's been 8 years. I still weep over the loss of dreams, what could have been, and that occasional tsunami of emotion is still intense. But I'm certain that it is an important part of my healing. As I reflected on my journey through this grief process, here are four things I'd love to share that I've learned to accept. First, accepting that I need to heal, not just feel better. Grieving and mourning the loss is a huge part of my healing. I was challenged personally to study the Ten Commands in James chapter 4, 7 through 10, that speak to recovery. Commands 1 through 3, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, draw near to God. The next two, cleanse your hands, purify your heart, you double-minded. Then the next four, mourn, be miserable, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So mourning and weeping and pain, melancholy and grief is a crucial part of this process. It's taken longer than I thought, to be honest. I've learned the value of their importance, however, in healing. There's a steady tension, however, to strive to just feel better. If I could just feel better, then I will be over this. I will be healed. Pitifully naive. I remember thinking during the darkest days, it would be so much better if I could medicate the pain or change my job or move somewhere new or find a new relationship, but nothing could have been further from the truth. Feeling better is the result, not the process. I really thought that moving through the pain of divorce as quickly as possible, however I could, would be the best thing, but I just needed to grieve and grieve well. And by the way, there's no timetable. You've heard it. No one can say, okay, Jim, time to stop grieving. Let's go. Let's get up and go. Only God can do that. And you'll know it. You will know it when it happens. The second thing I needed to accept was that my relationship with Christ is the only thing that can truly heal me. I put demands on my marriage that God never intended, guys. Make me feel significant. Make me happy. Give me worth. Give me purpose. Increase my self-esteem. Meet my needs, etc., etc. I felt most significant when I had something or someone to fix. In fact, to my shame, I felt most happy when my wife was most miserable. Her happiness meant that I was not needed. I took responsibility to feel better from the fear of failure and anger that drove me. I pursued the hollow comfort of pornography. I overate, controlled every environment, relationship, and process I was in because I believed, as I said before, controlling the processes could control the outcome. Pretty sick, pretty sick. However, significantly changing my thinking was needed in order for me to heal. That only my relationship with Christ could heal me. Simply put, I was not abiding in Christ, and so I was not thinking and feeling as he would have me. Jesus said, "Abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." John 15. My worth, my value, esteem needs to be found in Christ, not in restoring a marriage. I need to see myself as he sees me. And that's the second thing I needed to accept in this process. Number three, I needed to accept God's heart for reconciliation. So where have I been going for the last 8 years? And where do I go from here? I believe I understand God's heart correctly, that he does not hate me, the divorcee, but rather the act of divorce and the impact it has on those he loves. My challenge going forward is embracing what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Quote, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation." That ministry of reconciliation is just important in my earthly horizontal relationships as it is in my spiritual vertical ones. Currently, I'm in the healing process of reconciling a friendship with my ex-wife. I've made amends to her, each of my kids. I'm currently a leader in Watermark's recovery ministry, so that I will be encouraged to continue to pursue that self-awareness and dependence upon Christ. And all of this is done in a community of believers that know me and love me. Oh, and they will wound me when necessary. As Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Lastly, the fourth thing I needed to accept, that God holds the future, I don't. This was a toughie. You see, my significance was wrapped up in being married and having four compliant kids, and oh yeah, the dog. Losing that was losing everything, I thought. I learned to believe in my heart and mind that God was going to redeem this painful situation for his glory. But I confess, I don't know clearly what that redemption process looks like. It may not, and probably should not, look like it was before. But however it's supposed to look, I'm all in. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves were comforted by God. God will use my failures for his glory." Jeremiah writes in the Old Testament, and guys, this was an important passage in my recovery. He says, "I went to the potter's house, and there the potter was making something on the wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he, the potter, remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, 'Can I not deal with you as the potter does?' declares the Lord. Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." God is in the business of redeeming and remaking lives. There was a tremendous amount of encouragement in my heart when I embraced that truth. God wasn't going to make me better. He was going to make me new. But at times I regress. I desperately pray for God to join in on what I think is best. I claim Jeremiah 29:11, as we all do, where God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." But I was praying, "Oh God, I know the plans that I have for me, plans for my future and my hope. Please bless them." How presumptuous is that? God wants me to heal in His time. These are things that I must accept, things that I need to begin to see clearly. These four things. There's a familiar nursery rhyme that I've added to this that I think clearly understands what God does. It goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But God can. But He never promises to put Humpty Dumpty back on the wall. My future will look different. It will not be what it was. It can be better. It can be better. In summary, I say with full conviction that I would not be doing well in recovery apart from my abiding walk in relationship with Christ in the context of community. I am beginning to consistently accept that I need to heal and not just feel better, that my relationship with Christ is the only thing that can truly heal me, that God's heart is for reconciliation, and I'm part of that ministry of reconciliation, and that God holds the future. I don't. Our hope for healing is in Christ. St. Augustine's words encouraged me as he reflected on his journey through sexual addiction. He said, "How sweet all at once it was to be rid of those fruitless joys which I once feared to lose. You, Jesus, drove them from me. You who are true, my sovereign joy. You, Jesus, drove them from me and took their place. You who are sweeter than all pleasure." There's hope, my dear brothers and sisters. And I pray that God blesses you in this precious and painful season of your life. All things in our lives, the good or the pain, drive us to Him. Thanks for letting me share, guys.